Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiler movie reviews.
Hey everybody, it's time for another spoiled movie review on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, and I'm by myself today in the solo review, just me and you kicking it, listener, because Karen refused to watch this movie. As you can see from the title, it's Zack Snyder's Justice League, which is kind of like the a supercut of what Zack Snyder envisioned for his original Justice League movie. I guess if you know the backstory, we'll get into that in a second. But this is for people who've seen the movie. Don't ever plan on seeing the movie. You don't care about spoilers because we do spoil the movie. You can watch this movie on HBO Max streaming. I don't know if it's in theaters. It's 4 hours long, so you know, it might be probably not too many theaters that will will have this, but let's talk about let's talk about what I liked about the movie, then we'll talk about what I didn't like about the movie, and then we'll score it from 0 to 5. All right, so the basic plot line, I guess I have to give you some of the backstory, but so let me give you the backstory in case you don't know, if you've just been living under a rock, because I know I don't participate in the online debates back and forth, but I have kind of followed this movie. Zack Snyder originally made Justice League. He was making it for WB as the sequel to his Batman versus Superman movie, and it was in 2017. His daughter, I believe, committed suicide, or died by suicide that year, and it was in the middle of production on this movie. So of course he basically had to bow out, you know. I know he was already I believe it was already some stuff going on with being like either over budget or over past the schedule or something like that, and they had pushed the movie back a couple times, so there was always like scuttlebutt about this movie. Okay, then they bring in Joss Whedon to basically make a movie out of what Zack Snyder had done so far. So and the rumors were crazy at the time. It was like, yo, Zack Snyder wants to make a two-part film for Justice League, but the WB won't let them. They want it to be one part. Okay, well, if it's gonna be one part, he wants to make like a 3.5-hour, 4-hour movie. And people were like, what? And it was like, that's not gonna happen. And so Joss Whedon comes in, and it sounds like the studio basically brought him in to do what the studio wanted, and that was, hey, make this like Marvel. What would Marvel do? Marvel's gonna give you a 2.5-hour movie, tops, you know, 2 hours preferably. They're gonna give you some archetypes, some broad beats, and you know, it's gonna be bright and all this stuff. And so what Joss Whedon did was essentially, and you can tell from this movie, Joss Whedon essentially came in and did all the stuff that he did all the stuff that people wanted Zack Snyder to do on his, like, people were like, when after Batman vs. Superman, hey, why can't the movie be brighter? Why can't it be funnier? Why can't the action be faster as far as like the plot lines? Why can't it move along faster? all of this type of stuff. You know, people called that movie boring, dark. I was one of them. People complained about some of the plot motivations of the characters and the way that he played with some certain characters and in ways that they are not portrayed anywhere else, right? You know, Batman shooting guns and killing people and shit. So I thought that when I saw Joss Whedon's Justice League, I thought it was not good. You know, you could probably go back and listen to that review from 2017. But me and Karen both thought, yeah, it's just not good. Probably better than Batman vs. Superman. That's not saying a lot. It didn't look like whatever Joss Whedon tried to do, he could salvage whatever it was that Zack Snyder had already done. And some of the stuff was just so awkward and bad, just bad timing. You know, they couldn't get Henry Cavill to come back and do a rendition of Superman because he had a mustache at the time and he was filming Mission Impossible 6 or something. So they had to get him to come back and CGI out his mustache, and it looked terrible. Like, it was just so many decisions that felt rushed and bad, or, you know, like I said, like, Joss Whedon was trying to make a movie. After seeing this, I know now Joss Whedon was trying to make a blockbuster hit movie out of a Zack Snyder film that could not be, it would not be Zack Snyder's vision. And in addition to that, it was impossible to make it good and make it 2 hours. Impossible. So now 2021 comes around. Zack Snyder gets a chance to make this movie his own way. They give him $70 million to go back. I don't know how many reshoots they did, what all they added to the budget for CGI and stuff, but they give him $70 million. He's going to make it exclusive to HBO, Max, and streaming. And behind the scenes, he's been campaigning for this. And one of the reasons you'll see a lot of people very upset that the fact that this movie even got made is because a lot of them have been paying attention to and going back and forth with the online vitriol of the Zack Snyder fan club online, the like Justice League Zack Snyderverse truthers or whatever they're called. Like, they are very vitriolic. There's a lot of trolling. There's a lot of it's kind of that same vibe to me as Gamergate and all of that. Like, it's not good, in my opinion. I just stay out of those communities. I stay out of talking to them. I don't go back and forth with those people, just like I don't talk about Star Wars on Twitter. Like, it's just certain things attract a certain type of shit poster, and Zack Snyder's Snyderverse is just one of those things. And I think a lot of people are very upset with Zack Snyder because he played into that. And he used that very loud, aggressive hive on the internet to pressure the studio into letting him release his own version of the film. People think he's behind Ray Fisher, alleging, racism at WB and Joss Whedon and all this stuff. So, there's a lot of agendas behind the scene. I just wanted to, before we even start this review, wanted to address those up front because I think that is tainting a lot of people's reviews, and it's a lot of people, whoever you choose to believe, whatever you choose to believe, that's gonna come at you before you find out if they even like the movie, right? It's a, you know, Ray Fisher was lying, or Ray Fisher told the truth, and Joss Whedon is racist, he's a piece of shit. You know, a lot of those agendas are happening, and then that's what people are bringing to their reviews. I personally, if I watch your movie, I try to watch every movie with the benefit of the doubt. I don't watch anything going, you know, I don't like this motherfucker, then why would I watch the movie, right? So anyway, Zack Snyder's Justice League, the plot is fueled by his restored faith in humanity, inspired by Superman's selfless act, Bruce Wayne enlists the help of his newfound ally Diana Prince to face an even greater enemy. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Together, Batman and Wonder Woman work quickly and find and recruit a team of metahumans to stand against this newly awakened threat. But despite the formation of this unprecedented league of heroes, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Cyborg, and the Flash, it may already be too late to save the planet from an assault of catastrophic proportions. All right, so let's get into what I liked about this movie. All right, once again, I think Joss Whedon's version of Wonder Woman is probably my favorite version of her. She's a warrior. She fights with like strength and wants to kill. Like, I thought she was the best part of Batman versus Superman. I thought that momentum carrying her into her own movie was dope when Patty Jenkins kind of played off of that. So obviously, she still kills it in this movie. The expanded storylines with characters like Cyborg, The Flash, not so much Aquaman. His storyline was about the same. But you know, even Bruce Wayne, you get to see some interaction with him and Alfred and stuff. That kind of stuff actually brought something to this movie, in a lot of ways. And honestly, it really made the movie make a lot more fucking sense. Like, the Joss Whedon, I get why Joss Whedon did what he did. This is not me blaming him for anything, but Joss Whedon cutting that shit out makes a lot of the emotional beats not work in the film. So seeing, you know, Victor and his father, you know, kind of overcome stuff in the film, it doesn't feel, it's just like, why he's so mad at his dad? But in the original film, but in this one, I mean, it hits home. You get to see like him and his mother and their bond, and his father being kind of an absentee dad, you know, the Cyborg origin story, if you guys pretty much know it already. But you know, you also get to see his dad redeem himself and all this stuff. So I think that was a major win for this film, was you know, fighting to, I get, after seeing this film, I see why they fought so hard to have his version out there. Because the thing that was interesting to me is, I don't think a lot of this was new footage. It seemed like a lot of this was, they worked hard as fuck to make this film, this vision. It turned into a 4-hour behemoth. The studio was like, fuck that shit. Zach couldn't fight for his vision anymore once he was, you know, out at the you know, and plus what he did was really self-indulgent, right? A 4-hour blockbuster summer hit is, I mean, that's pretty fucking ridiculous. But yeah, so my point being, that shit worked, you know. Like, it's long as fuck, but all that stuff worked. Another thing I liked, the things he took out of the film, stuff that I hated about the Joss Whedon version, that I think Joss thought he was like lightening it up. He thought he was, you know, he was trying to turn DC into Marvel, which a lot of people think they want. But I'm like, once you're down a path, you've complete the path or you restart it. You can't salvage it halfway through and be like, and now it's just like Marvel. The people who hate DC films already hate them. They're never coming back unless you start completely over. And even then, they're going to be in the theater with their arms folded. So that seems like a tactic that is doomed to me. So for my money, I'd rather see Zack Snyder finish out his vision, do his own Justice League universe, then see, you know, some other director come in halfway through and be like, let's add a coat of paint to this shit, right? But the stuff he took out, stuff where like Superman is talking to kids at the beginning of the film, that's not in this film. And I love it. It shouldn't be in this film. Zack Snyder didn't make that Superman, so why try to go halfway through and be like, he's this Superman now? No, he's not. The family in the third act of the other film, the Justice League by Joss Whedon, not in this film, and really shouldn't be. I always thought that shit was kind of stupid. Now, you know, no offense to all the people that are like, the true Superman would have stopped and saved the kitten and from a tree, and then he would have fought Zod. And I'm like, this is clearly not that version of Superman. And I don't care about that. You know, I said that when I saw Man of Steel. I was in. I didn't care about that shit. So yeah, I love the addition by subtraction. It sounds weird to say that about a film that's 2 hours longer than the original, But yet some of the shit he took out that clearly Joss put in thinking it would work, that didn't work, because come on, you didn't like that Justice League film, I didn't like that Justice League film, so let's not pretend like, oh, he touched the Holy Grail, that shit was whack. So taking that shit out actually made the film a lot better. Another thing, oh my god, I did not realize how horrible Joss Whedon's version of this film looked. I actually saw someone post a video of the scene side by side of just Lois Lane talking to Martha Kent, and it's like Joss Whedon just turned the tint all the way up to 50, you know, he just turned the brightness up. And while people think, oh, I don't want dark film, I want bright colors and shit, it's not just the new TV either, the darkness pops because that's how the fuck it was filmed. So you changing, like, it's not just like your TV where you just adjust the tint and then everything's all good. It actually looked better like this. It looked better with the darker universe and all that stuff. Now, I do question Zack Snyder's original vision, because what I think happened was that $70 million, he went and addressed one of the complaints that pretty much everyone who watches his films has. Some of these grayscale ass fights. He went and put motherfucking silver coating on everything. motherfucking eyes was every, if eyes could glow, they was glowing. If a nigga could have a reflective surface on rather than just some gray ass ashy skin, they was reflecting. You know, it's like, and I think that's where the $70 million went, was just on polishing up shit that honestly, I mean, it's funny and kind of corny, but it works for the eye, because when you're watching it, it actually is more visually appealing than the original shit. The other thing I think he did was either they filmed this and it was cut out, or they didn't film this and he added it in, but the action for the CGI, the scenes were better. Like the last fight with Steppenwolf, and you actually get to see Darkseid in this film, much better than the original last fight. So the stakes actually seem like they matter. And what that made me feel like is that Joss Whedon was given a directive to end this shit. Like they told him, don't make no fucking allusions to a sequel, really. We don't want Darkseid in this film. We want to be able to take this in any direction we need to take it after this film is over. And it shows, because if you watch like Aquaman films after this, all the films after this act like Justice League didn't happen. Wonder Woman 1984 acts like Justice League never happened. They even set it at a time period before Justice League, so you can't even have no comparisons. Aquaman, I mean, there's stuff that happens in this film, and it makes Aquaman make no sense. And like I said, it seemed like they had filmed that already. So it does, you know, so say stuff like meeting Mira for the first time in the film, or making it seem like he barely knew Mira and didn't know anything about Atlantis, clearly in this film he knows about Atlantis, he knows about his mom, he knows about Mira, he knows about their customs, he knows about the man who's been raising him since he was the man who promised to his mother since he was a kid to raise him and stuff. So like, it's a completely different vibe when you watch this. And like I said, they gave, you know, now that I think about it, they gave Aquaman a lot of backstory as well. So I would definitely say that as a positive. Let's see, another thing I add for positive, because they had longer stories, Steppenwolf made such a better fucking villain than he was in the first one. Oh my god, it's like in the first film he could barely fucking talk, he's just this brute who walked around like, you know, I'm gonna take the planet. This one, they show you Steppenwolf is apparently a failed emissary of Darkseid who betrayed him, and his price of getting back in Darkseid's good graces is to conquer something like 50,000 planets or some crazy shit like that. And they're like, you got 10,000 more planets to go before you get on his good graces. But the reason that it becomes such a big deal, that Earth is such a big deal, Earth has the anti-life equation, which if you know about the comic books, Darkseid's biggest thing is the anti-life equation. It's kind of like how Thanos' big thing is he's in love with death in the Marvel comics and he wants to get rid of the half the universe's population. Well, the anti-life equation is essentially death on a stick, and that's what the fuck Darkseid is always coveting. So yeah, now Darkseid makes more sense. Steppenwolf makes more sense as a villain. Another thing that worked in this film for me, Superman's return, much better in this film, because in the other film it felt really disjointed. Like, he was back, he fought everybody, he fought the good guys, he sees Lois, he flies to fucking Kansas, and then he's like, I'm back. And in this film, that what was a little bit different, when they brought him back, there's no scene with Diana arguing with Bruce about should we really bring him back after they all just agreed to bring him back. And the reason that that's significant to me is because I didn't like that in Joss Whedon's film, because it felt like you were making the woman in the group the nag, right? The one that's like, I don't want the fun thing of that everyone wants. We bringing Superman back and saving the earth. So they just took it out because it don't make sense. Like, everyone would have been on the same page after that shit, you know? So, I really did like that. The other thing that was brilliant about Superman's return, Lois Lane in this movie is much more of a fleshed out character, where her and Martha have this thing about her needing to return to life and return to work. She hasn't been to work and really lived her life since, of course, Clark slash Superman died. And so, you see her kind of like slowly trying to return to work and return to life, and she shows up at the Superman when he's brought back to life. She shows up on her own. In the Joss Whedon version, Batman went and got her, and that was like his big joker was like, oh, I got Lois here. It doesn't hit the same, and it takes away Lois's agency. But her coming down there on her own, and it just added some, it felt more like that's what Lois would do. She'd see something, she'd get there as fast as possible and be like, you know, what's going on with Clark, and save everybody, you know? So I actually really like that. Let me think what else I like. Just the bigger fleshed out stories, Gotham, Commissioner Gordon, that shit started, like all this shit that just I thought was nonsense in the first film, where I was just like, what, why are we skipping around to this motherfucker, where he come from, you know? The heist, that the quote-unquote heist that Diana thwarted to start the film at the, you know, they were gonna kill all those kids at the school, and you're just like, what happened? Well, now it makes a little bit more sense. Another thing I liked too was the action scenes was hitting harder. Now, they probably spent that 70 mil. Let's be real. That's probably where that went. Like, I'm sure he probably knew y'all, people that's watching this have seen the other version, and they not gonna wanna watch, Diana fight the exact same way, you know? So, I thought that was actually really good, to be frank. Like, even when I watched the Wonder Woman fight scene from the beginning of the movie again, it didn't feel like I saw this before in the other movie. Like, a few parts of it you felt like, oh yeah, I remember this part, but the way he like slowed down, sped up, added a couple extra, you know, extra punches, flips, a couple extra bad guys, it honestly made it better for me. All right, so I think that's it for likes. I thought it was kind of neat that he made it six parts to go with the six heroes, and then seven was the epilogue, and then in the epilogue you get introduced to Martian Manhunter. So I did kind of thought that was pretty cool. Oh, and then we find out also that Martian Manhunter was Martha the whole time, bringing Lois back into the game. Like, that was some wild shit. All right, anyway, let's get to dislikes. I think I've said a lot of things I like. Dislikes, I think the obvious is 4 hours. You know, I had to watch this film over the course of a few days, break it up in parts, and I get why the studio said no. Like, I don't think it was anything about race. I don't think it was any of that shit that, I don't think it's anything to do with hating Zack Snyder, any of this shit. It just, they said make this movie. He made, to his, not in his version of the best movie he could make, was 4 hours. You know he make long movies. Sucker Punch, Watchmen. This is just what he do. So I absolutely get why they didn't want to put this shit out. But at the same time, it was 4 hours and still could have been like three and a half. Cause there's some really self-indulgent moments. Like this is, if the first movie was take half the movie and put on the cutting room floor, this was leave nothing on the cutting room floor. I mean, the part where they sing the whole song in the Icelandic, like whatever the fuck, to Aquaman in the beginning. Now it's only like an extra minute or so of the screen, but it's just like, dog, the movie's already 4 hours. You don't even have to do that. Just you know, take that out. Some of the scenes with Barry and his dad going back and forth to prison, you know, it's like, you know, there's a whole scene with Iris in the movie, and I know this was under Ray Fisher's allegations of racism, but it literally added nothing to the movie. Like, other than the fact we gonna have a solo film for Flash and we might make this girl Iris, because they don't even tell you that that's Iris. They don't even, like, very, it's just stuff like that, that it's like he didn't have an editor, and every idea that he had, he was like, I want it in the movie. So if there's any flaws in the movie, it's that kind of shit. It's just self-indulgent. He's one thing I'll say about Zack Snyder, he's a super fan of DC. Like, a lot of people do not want to give him that credit, but he absolutely loves DC, and he seems to love the dark shit, injustice type of shit. And his thing was he wanted to take these shiny, you know, beacons of light and sully them and play in the dark part of the sandbox. And it seems like the kind of DC truthers or whatever do not like that about him. They, you know, Superman is justice and hope and light, and Wonder Woman is, you know, forgiveness and love and shit. And he's just like, no, she's a Amazonian warrior that cut your fucking head off. And you know what? I fuck with it. So, but that being said, everything is in this movie. You get to the epilogue and honestly, you're just like, it's still going. It's still going. We already saw the end, Josh. We good. And the epilogue is like some Elseworlds injustice world shit where, and it's clearly when I say it's injustice, it's injustice. They mention the Joker played by Jared Leto, who I hate and think is a terrible Joker. This is now his second version of the Joker, and this version still sucks. The tattoo face version was whack. This version's whack. But even with the Jared Leto Joker, he says he killed Lois Lane, which if you have know anything about injustice, that's how injustice starts. This motherfucker kills Lois Lane, Superman go crazy, and by the end of it, Superman's essentially the villain of the universe, right? So I really thought that the epilogue and all this shit was so unnecessary, and they did a weird thing where Bruce Wayne somehow got the superpower of dreaming about crazy shit. So it was one of his crazy dreams. It's just a dream, I hate that trope. And then Martian Manhunter definitely feels thrown in. I already saw the interview where the actor said he didn't even know he was Martian Manhunter in the movie, which says a lot about like, I don't know how haphazardly they threw that in. I don't know if he just wanted to stick it to WB and be like, see, y'all are so racist for not putting my version of the movie out, because I'm adding even extra black people that wasn't even in the original movie. or maybe that was his vision from the beginning. I don't know. But, so that definitely, but it feels tacked on is my point. Like, if Martian Manhunter got Lois Lane back into life and he saw the fucking Justice League fighting Steppenwolf, and he saw the world almost come to an end, and this nigga still didn't show up till after like almost the credits, kind of whack. Another thing that just feels, you know, just Zack Snyder-y and a little too over the top, Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor telling Deathstroke that Batman is Bruce Wayne. I don't remember if that's in the original Joss Whedon one or if that's just Zack Snyder just added that, but either way, that always felt so extra to me, like so over the top. Like, I don't like Eisenberg's Joker, I mean Eisenberg's Luthor. I don't like the other dude, Leto's Joker. So, you know, for me, those are, and now look, those are just my preferences. Other people might like those characters and like the, as like those actors as those characters. It just was a no for me. So if you like it, hey, I love it, you know, don't let me stop you from enjoying it. But yeah, that stuff felt really tacked on at the end there, with the Injustice storyline and all that stuff. What else did I not like? I still think he's not that good at humor. Like, all the light stuff, the funny stuff, not that good. Characters still come off one dimensional, not as bad as Joss Whedon had them, but you know, Wally is still Barry is just kind of a goofball. Wonder Woman, obviously Amazonian warrior, don't mind that. Aquaman still kind of a bro, just badass Alfred, you know, like not a lot of depth there. The only one that really truly gained a lot of depth to me was Cyborg's character, and yes, his storyline was probably the biggest catastrophe, or not catastrophe, biggest loss of the Joss Whedon cut, because they failed a lot of shit for that character, and they Joss Whedon clearly came in and said, we gotta cut 2 hours, so your shit gotta go, and because it's a huge chunk and it's all kind of insular to itself. But that storyline was pretty fucking good, no bullshit, and Ray Fisher played the hell out of that role. And I'm not saying I would have done it, but listen, I get why you make up racism allegations to get that movie made if I was Ray Fisher, because I mean, he did some work, and so did the, you know, the surrounding cast. So I gotta give him credit I'm not saying I appreciate how he did it, but I get it anyway. Like I said, the characters still are mostly archetypes except for Cyborg. Everyone else is still kind of exactly what Joss Whedon had painted them as, exactly what they were in the other films. You know, it's another negative. It still is the Zack Snyder murderverse. You know what I mean? So you know, and I lost that, you know, that part of me a long time ago. This is the Batman who shoots guns. This is Wonder Woman who cuts people's heads off. This is, you know, the Joker that killed Robin and flaunts in front of Bruce's face, and no Robin ever comes back. This is not, to me, the DC I grew up with, the one I saw in other iterations, the comics. This is the dark Snyder murderverse. To me, smartest thing DC did was do that Elseworlds thing where they just go, hey, these films do not intersect with each other or necessarily have to acknowledge each other. And I'm like, that's fine, because to me, you can't make a whole universe around Zack Snyder. And I think it's been proven, because anytime someone else has done a film in Zack Snyder's lineage of films in the Justice League, it has either had to ignore what Zack did or it has been terrible. There's just no in between, and some of them have done both. Some of them have been terrible and ignored what Zack Snyder did. So you know, I just don't know that he was the guy to build your universe around, because even if you get a Flash spinoff film, what's it gonna really be? You know what I mean? Like, oh, Flash, and it's gonna have Cyborg in it and all this shit. It's like, it's gonna be sad as fuck, because the whole thing he did with those characters was sad and very dramatic and very dark, you know. And if it's all leaning towards this injustice like he showed in the epilogue, then that makes sense. Then to me, what this film's greatest, what it did best was help Zack Snyder's universe make sense, because I see where it's heading now. Let's see. Anything else I didn't like? I still thought the character design for Darkseid was whack when they originally showed him. I do like the one they had at the end for him though. Still a lot of grayscale shit, you know, not as much as the original film, but you could tell, like, he was just doing shit like, let's CGI in an extra gun, let's CGI in some silver armor, let's CGI, because so it wasn't like, it didn't seem to me to be brand new shots. It seemed to be mostly like, we know that this shit did not appeal to the eye. The last thing I'll say for the negatives, the 4-3, I understand that that's supposed to be some really artistic movie theater cinematic integrity shit. Nigga, I don't understand. Okay, I got this nice TV shaped like a rectangle. I don't have the option to play my shit that fit the rectangle. That's all. Okay, I don't want to feel like I threw in a VHS tape of Booty Talk 12 when I'm trying to watch a fucking streaming 4K movie. I didn't want to feel that way. Does it look better? Yes, it looks better than what Whedon did, but that's mostly because of the coloring and all this other shit. But that 4-3 just seemed like, what kind of, like, I guess the 4, you know what, like I said, it goes back to the, if you have any problems with this film, it's going to probably be along these lines, right? Joss Whedon got to do literally every fucking thing he could think of, and no one could say no. And that's how the film feels to me. So the 4-3 feels like just another fuck you, like, and I'm gonna make it 4-3. Okay, so it's gonna be a square instead of a rectangle. Yep. I'm like, all right, Josh, whatever you wanna do, bro. We don't want no problems. So, and it's gonna be 4 hours. Hey, man, if that's what you wanna do, 4 hours, 4 hours, whatever you wanna do, bro. Well, no one's arguing. So yeah, that's, I think that's it for the negatives and stuff. Let's go ahead and rate this bad boy from 0 to 5. So I probably, I don't know what I gave the first film. I can't imagine I gave it more than like a 2. For this though, I would probably give it like a 3.5. I actually think it's a good film. It's obviously way too long. It's probably best that it came to streaming so you can watch it at your leisure and pause it and go do some shit and come back and watch some more the next day or whatever. So it's way too long. It's very self-indulgent. I still gotta take off, you know, some, because Zack Snyder's epilogues and dream visions and his love for trying to throw injustice into the middle of these movies when he hasn't really truly earned that, like he doesn't lead up to that in the movie, is such a fanboy thing. It does make the movie feel a bit disjointed by the end. You get to the end and just feel like someone just threw a boomerang at you. You're just like, what the fuck just happened, you know? So but yeah, I would give it a 3.5 out of 5. I'm trying to think. Yeah, so I think that's fair. Still a good score, and better than Joss Whedon's version of it, better than, you know, WB coming in saying, hey, take all this shit out. So, you know, and honestly, you know, for my personal opinion, it acquits Zack Snyder Zack Snyder of the criticism that, well, he didn't even have a movie. He did. You know, there's other things I think he did that were wrong and whack and very fucked up on his path to get his version of the movie out. But absolutely, it is, he did have a vision. He did film, cause like I said, I don't think all this shit was new. He did film all this shit, and creatively, he was done a disservice by Joss Whedon and the studio. Creatively. Now, like I said, financially, all this other shit, I get why the studio's like, we can't do a 4-hour fucking action movie, Josh, in the middle of the fucking summer. No one's gonna see this 4-hour fucking film, okay? No one has that time. So I get why they didn't do it the way he wanted to do it, but I actually, you know, think this is a much better film than the original. All right, I got one comment for my last solo review. Episode 333, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Anne says, saw this the day it came out. It was very good. Andra Day is as good an actress as she is a singer, and gorgeous. Oh yeah, she absolutely killed it. So really thought she was the standout of the movie. I've seen everyone else I know who's seen it mostly thinks it's just a terrible fucking movie, and I don't know, man. I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it was pretty good. I don't really know what was terrible about it specifically. Maybe I was just, I don't know, maybe I missed it, but I thought her performance was so good that that the movie was pretty good. She carried the movie and did a good job. So that's just me. All right, y'all, talk to y'all next time I do one of these reviews. Appreciate y'all. Until next time, peace.